Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for High Velocity Radio.
Lee Cantor here, another episode of High Velocity Radio, and this is going to be a good one. Today we have with us Wendy Mayhew with Business Launch Solutions and the Wise Seniors in Business Project. Welcome, Wendy.
Thank you for having me. Pleasure to be here.
Well, that was a mouthful. Can you tell us about your work with Wise Seniors in Business?
Sure. So a few years ago, I realized that there was such a need to change from my regular entrepreneurship and totally focus on older entrepreneurship, as we are the fastest growing group of new entrepreneurs in the world, and also the most under-supported and underserved. And so I wanted something different to be working on, and it had just became so fascinating, researching all of this, that my total focus is now on this group.
So now, what was your backstory? What were you doing prior to that?
Oh, boy. I've been an entrepreneur for over 40 years, and I've done quite a few things. I've seen the good, I've seen the bad, and I've seen the very, very ugly. And at one point said I'd never, ever be an entrepreneur again. And that lasted 18 months, and I started another business and went on from there. And, I have such a varied background in different businesses that I did. And so it's all about entrepreneurship and helping entrepreneurs start their business.
And then what drew you to this older entrepreneur group?
I was asked to write an article about financing for older entrepreneurs. And I went, oh, what is this all about? This is silliness. Well, and then I started really researching it, and I went, wow, this is awesome new group that needs the support. And so I wrote the article, it opened my eyes, and I haven't looked back since.
And then how did you kind of land on like older? What does that mean? It's like, sometimes people go, oh, it's a small business, but in some areas, a small business could be 500 employees. Like, how are you defining old?
Okay. Older to me, and this is from the data as well. So people over the age of 50 are in this group that I represent. I mean, sure, if people are younger, then that's fine, but it's the 50 plus, which is the fastest and newest growing group of entrepreneurs in the world. And it is even getting to, we are certainly going to see more entrepreneurs due to COVID-19, because there is ageism, unfortunately, and I hate that word, but we're going to have to start using it more, or I'm going to have to start using it more. There's so much ageism in the workforce, with people being laid off, asked to take early retirement, or for whatever reason, it appears people over the age of 50 are the first ones that are being let go. And so a lot of them aren't ready to retire. They can't find other work because of the ageism part of this. And so a lot of them are going to have to, whether they want to or not. Some will definitely want to. There's going to be others that are just going to be, oh my God, what am I going to do? I guess I better start a business, which is great and not great. You need to know what is involved when starting a business. So, there's people who've always wanted to start a business. There are people who have had an idea but don't know where to go or how to do it. And then the third part is, I'm desperate. I have to start a business to see if I can bring in income. So what they all have in common is they really don't know where to start.
Now, what is the breakdown in like the kind of percentage of folks in each of those groups?
I'm sorry, I do not have it. Oh, do you mean as in the 50 plus?
Right. Like, so, and the people that are over 50, how many people are kind of elevating this? I'm going to start my own thing I'm going to do this, as opposed to the group that they have to do this because they don't have any other choice. Do you have any idea of the breakdown of those?
No, I don't. And I'm from Canada, and Canada does not have that type of data. They group everything together, and you can, like, where there may be, and I'm just saying this out of my head right now, but you may have 500,000 people that own businesses over the age of 50, but they don't break it down. mm-hmm. into anything other than that. Like they can't, they may not be new business owners. You know, they could have been business owners for years and years and years. And so there, unfortunately, there isn't that data.
And then these folks that are maybe the first time doing this, maybe they worked in a corporate job or they worked for mm-hmm. somebody else. And then mm-hmm. now they're in a situation they got to fend for themselves. And then they're kind of raising their hand and saying, you know what, I'm going to give this a go. In the back of my head, this is something I've always wanted to do. And then you kind of created a book and a guide to help them kind of start this business for the first time.
I did. Yes. Whenever I started, so I'm already an author of a book that's used in colleges and universities across Canada on entrepreneurship, but it is, you know, a general book. But then I started looking, and as I said earlier, most undersupported and underserved group, started researching, okay, what is out there to help these people? There wasn't anything. Sure, there were books on, you know, entrepreneurship and this and that about older people, but there wasn't any guide to explaining, you know, this is a process. When you start a business, this is a process. You start here. Here's what you need to be doing. And everything in the book, for the most part, will relate to everyone, except whenever it comes to the social marketing, because there's, you know, there's so many different platforms to use, and some of them may be relevant to the business that you're doing when others might not be.
So these are kind of foundational kind of entrepreneurship tenets, and then you've kind of built them and customized it for the challenges that somebody that's a little older might find if they're doing this for the first time.
Yes, yes. And one of the biggest challenges, the two of the biggest challenges I always say are stepping out of your comfort zone is one of them, because you've been in a business or a career where you have your contacts, you have your network. And now this is going to be totally different. So that's a little bit of a challenge. And then the other one is, and it's basically on along the same lines, but it is, you know, transitioning from employee to entrepreneur. Totally different. Totally different way of living, I guess, or working every day. You know, you get up and you've had a purpose when you were an employee. So you get up, you went to work. You know, you finished your day. And now when you become an entrepreneur, okay, yes, you get up every day and you have more work to do, more things to think about with your business. And you don't have that same group of people to talk to.
Now, is that kind of a shock? Do you find this to be a shock for some of the folks that are getting into this for the first time? When they worked for somebody else, that was really part of their identity. I work for blah, blah, blah. And then they were seen as, oh, I'm a senior executive at blah, blah, blah. And then now they're on their own and they're not getting maybe their phone call returned as quickly as they used to, or they're not maybe seen in the same light. Is that a challenge for some of these older folks to kind of accept that?
Yes. And, you know, another challenge is not only the people that are starting out, but it's just this whole, ageism part that unfortunately we have to overcome. And I've intentionally in my book left out ageism, because I don't want to be it to be a deterrent for people that are starting a business later in life. Because even though I say it's different than working for someone else, it actually, I suggest that people take the idea of, okay, I'm going to do something different. I may not be in the same place, but why don't I look at it like it's another project and make it into a project. And then, you know, you can, even though you don't have that same group to fall back on, always remember that I'm going to back up here a step, because the first thing you take whenever you leave your job is your Rolodex, because you have contacts in there, probably from years and different positions in your career. And you are going to be able to probably call upon those people who may introduce you to other people to help you get going. And, you know, if those people introduce you to other people, then it makes it easier. But it's all on how you do your marketing too, and how you can stand out from the rest.
So is that something, if they get a hold of your book, they can kind of have a roadmap of, okay, at the beginning, this is what I got to do, you know, day one. And then I got to, okay, I got to nurture my contacts that I already have. I got to come up with a service that I think people are going to want. And I'm going to lean on, I guess, my initial network to help me kind of vet that to see if that's going to fly, and then go from there. And then your book is kind of a roadmap for success.
It is a roadmap for success. But, you know, before you, I mean, the book explains everything that needs to be done. But it actually doesn't start with the idea, okay? Because I think that people need to have the idea first and then move forward from there. And the book will then help you decide whether, you know, okay, I can do this. It'll tell you, you know, give you a lot of suggestions on what you should be doing to reach out to people, and, you know, and don't be afraid. I mean, I think a lot of people when they are starting out is not only are they afraid of the unknown, but they're also, they hate the words marketing and they hate the word sales. And they, you know, if you've never had a marketing position before, you're not used to social media, the book will certainly help you with all of that to get started, because it is a very, very, very important aspect of any business. If you don't do your marketing, you're not going to have sales. If you don't have sales, you're not going to have a business for very long.
Now, do you talk at all about financing? Because I think that that's on the top of everybody's mind of how they do this, or they're not even aware of what is required in order to launch something like this.
Financing is, it is included in the book. It's very general, as in talking about, you know, the different types of financing that are available. The one thing that we hear over and over again is the hardest thing for people starting a business later in life is trying to find the financing. It is there. There's VCs and angels that are coming on board. There are banks that will finance you. Sometimes they are a higher interest rate. In Canada, we do not have the grants. I haven't really heard of anyone having grants for older people. So they're always going to have to, you know, be able to repay it. They may have to mortgage their homes in order to get the financing if they don't want to use their own savings. And, you know, that's a big thing whenever you are starting later and you have your retirement in place, your retirement savings in place. You have to look very carefully and talk to people in the financial area, as well as if you're you know, your investor, if you have an investor, and help them or ask them to help you decide which is the right way to do the financing of your business.
And if they are investing some of their savings, then I guess their business is a speculative stock in their portfolio.
Right. Exactly.
So, when you wrote this book, what was kind of the funnest part for you to put a book like this together? Were you just kind of taking what you had done before and just tweaking it for this older crowd, or did you kind of, by talking to the older, the senior entrepreneurs, did that kind of give you kind of a new lens to see the world?
Yes and no. So I am a very firm believer, and I keep mentioning this to everyone that I ever talk to, is there isn't one person that knows enough to write a book on entrepreneurship themselves. I am a generalist. Again, I always say a generalist. Yes, I'm stronger in some things than other things, as like most people are. So I reached out to people that some I knew, some I didn't know, that were known for their expertise in specific topics. And I interviewed, there were 29 people that are in the book that I interviewed to talk about specific topics. And then I wrote the chapters based on my own information and their information, but also to go even deeper into everything. The interviews that I did are available on a separate website for anyone that has purchased the book. So it is important that I could not tell the whole story of what I wanted to include myself. I know from talking to people what was expected. I also know as a business owner what needed to be covered. So, and I'm actually updating the book in 2021 to include some other things that I now want to include.
So now by doing this book and then networking with this new kind of group of experts, are you forming kind of a community to help these seniors really flourish?
Yeah, I am. We're trying to set up a few different things for them. I have my book, the interviews, working with some other people to see what we can do to kind of make a hub. Because I'm, you know, my book is one thing, but depending on where you are in the world, there are other programs that people might want to, be part of. And so I'm wanting to build this, as I say, hub, that it will be a place for people from all over the world can go to. I mean, that sounds really big and it would take forever to do that. But it's important that we all collaborate. There's very few of us in this field. And it's really important that we collaborate with each other to get the message out. I have contacts all over the world now, and we're doing things together. And one of them is podcasting, but I've been asked to be advisors and do a lot of speaking on the topic. But that's, these are with groups that are starting something of their own, which is so, so needed. I mean, we need the support. We need to know that people are there to help us. Older entrepreneurs, a lot of them don't know where to go to get the help or don't know what to do. And so it is really important that when they are looking for this information, that they find somebody that actually has the experience of being an entrepreneur themselves and has done been working in this age group, age demographic for quite a while.
Now, can you talk a little bit about this 50 over 50 awards? Because I think that's a great way to support and celebrate these folks that, like you said, is an underserved group.
Mm-hmm. So in 2017, I created the WISE 50 over 50 awards. They're in Canada only at this time. We'll see if they grow any further. The reason I did them was because I advocate for older entrepreneurs in Canada. And I wasn't getting anywhere. I kept hearing, they're going to be working for a company for years. They're going to leave. They're going to start their own business and go back and consult. And they will never add anything to the economy. I knew that was wrong. And so I decided I would create these awards. And I'm in Ottawa, which is the capital of Canada, but it's not a great big city. And so I knew that I wasn't going to be able to make as big a bang as I wanted to just by having the awards in Ottawa or even in Ontario. So I made them Canada-wide. And I reached out to small business organizations across Canada, told them what I was doing. And I had, in the first year, 80 organizations supporting the awards. And I had put a media kit together and said, if you could do this and this and this with this, it would be greatly appreciated. And even if you want to nominate anyone, that would be great as well. So first year, almost 100 applications. So I knew I was on the right track. And then the next year, I had 100 supporters. And the following year, I had 120 supporters. Now, then COVID hit, so I haven't done them this year. But it's great that you go on to the website and you just see what people are doing. This was a way to get the word out. It was. I mean, it's just letting people know that we are doing innovative, successful businesses and hiring people to help us.
Yeah, it's nice to be appreciated. And this group is underserved. They're like almost forgotten, like they were. But at 50 nowadays, that's middle age. I mean, people live to 100. 50 isn't what 50 was, 50 years ago.
No, I was on actually a call last night with, his name is Hunter. Well, it was with the Australian Chamber of Commerce and the, I always forget her title, but it is a commission on aging in Australia. Hunter has just recently read a book or written a book. And so he was part of it with launching his book then. But they said that by 2055, there will be 40,000 people in Australia over the age of 100. That is just in Australia. you imagine what it's going to be like worldwide? So we are definitely living longer. And, you know, 50, is 50 midlife? I don't know. Is it? Well, it is if we're talking about living to 100, yes. But, you know, we are now our age group, my age group. We look at things differently. We are not ready to stop. We are healthier. We are not a burden on a healthcare system, which is a big problem that people think we are. And so we have so much to offer. We have the wisdom. You know, we can be mentoring people. We can, and vice versa. I mean, this whole multi-generational, that's another thing that's coming up is, you know, younger people being mentored by older people or vice versa. Because two different age groups, or even five that's there now, that, you know, we have so much to offer and we can all do such great things together.
Well, Wendy, if there's somebody who wants to learn more about the book or join the community, what's the best website to go to?
Go to wise-seniorsinbusiness.com.
Well, thank you so much for doing the work you're doing. It's important work, and we appreciate you.
Well, thank you ever so much for having me.
All right. This is Lee Cantor. We will see you all next time on High Velocity Radio.